We're in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. We're on verse 16. Every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. Every prudent man, every wise man deals with knowledge. He dealeth with knowledge. He trades with knowledge. It's his valuable talent that the Lord has given to him, one of his talents that God has given to him. A prudent man deals with knowledge. He dealeth with knowledge. God gives him knowledge, the ability to gain knowledge, and therefore God gives us a responsibility to gain that knowledge. So ignorance is a sin when we have the ability to know. And God gives us the ability to gain knowledge and then makes us responsible to gain it and then also to respond to it and then act upon it. A prudent man deals out knowledge. He deals with knowledge in all of his doings. He's dealing in those doings with knowledge. So we need to understand the gift of God. Our minds are a gift from God. And they have an accounting to them. A wise man deals with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly, his ignorance. That he deals not like the wise man. The wise man deals with knowledge, the prudent man. The fool deals folly out. He deals with ignorance. He deals in ignorance. He deals perhaps in emotiveness, just emotions, and not rationality, not knowledge, not wisdom, not discretion. His unwillingness. He often has an unwillingness to live in reality. The wise man deals with knowledge. So he deals with facts. Not life as he supposes it to be, but life as it actually is. And indeed, we have a generation that lives in a virtual world at this point. In many ways, many levels. Not just the fact that they play these virtual games, that's a part of it, where they live a double life. And they have another life online than they have in their actual life. But their own actual life, on account of that, but also just the way the generation that we've raised, they don't even live in reality on many levels. Even on a temporal level, they rarely live in reality. The wise man deals with facts. Take, for instance, the area of finances. Not life as one supposes it, but as it actually is. Finances will bring us brutally to reality. Douglas Southall Freeman, he's the author of the 9-volume, I believe he got the Pulitzer for Washington, 9 volumes on Washington, 4 on Lee, 4 on Lee's lieutenants. But in the story of his life, his father, who was a Confederate soldier, faced complete financial loss. He had started up a business, and he was selling that business to somebody, and in the midst of buying another business, and the person he was selling it to then all of a sudden tumbled and fell financially, and it pulled him in to the void, and he failed as well. David Johnson wrote their lives, talking about the lives of the Confederate soldiers. Their lives consisted of burned homes, fenceless farms, planting seasons without teams, or a hungry urban family with no wages to feed his wife and children. And yet, present with many of those veterans was the indomitable spirit of Lee and the 4-year struggle that they had fought. Having faced destitution, starvation, disaster, and despair, new assaults no longer held the fear of finality. The Confederate veteran simply started again. He would walk away from his business failure and start again. They lived in a stark reality. Prudent man deals with knowledge. So what did he do? It says he moved his family from their comfortable home on Main Street to board with a widowed friend. Hard work, tough choices. One of the tough choices was we're leaving our comfortable home because we can't afford it. And we're going to go live with a widowed friend. We're going to get crammed up in this house until we can afford something better. Hard work, tough choices, and family economy soon found their reward. And then in 2.5 years, he was again on top, had paid off his debts, and was back on Main Street, actually. Oddly enough, selling life insurance for the New York Life. But the wise man, our text says, the wise man is someone who deals in knowledge. He deals in knowledge, not in a virtual world, but in the real world. And he makes real world decisions. And they're tough decisions oftentimes. In running a household, you have to deal in knowledge. A wise man, a wise woman deals in knowledge. I was listening to a series of tapes by Steve Wilkins on covenant marriage and really enjoyed his section that he dealt with the housewife. And all of the knowledge that really is necessary to order a home. The knowledge of human nature that is needed to deal with the problems, because a home means souls, whether it's a spouse or children. So to deal in knowledge is to deal with understanding, is to deal with discretion, is to deal with wisdom, is to understand human nature. How do people live together in a home? And understanding the limitations that are there, and that our expectations are not virtual, but that our expectations, and Jay Adams talks about that in his book, that our expectations for two Christians that are getting married is that you have two sinners in that home. So that expectations don't exceed reality. The prudent man deals with knowledge, while a fool opens up his folly, shows forth his folly by the fact that he doesn't understand human nature, has expectations that are out of line with reality. The knowledge of children, of training them, disciplining them. And what a vista of knowledge there needs to be for that when it opens up before you of training a soul to be prepared for life in all of the aspects of life and what is necessary to get children to understand that the world doesn't revolve around them, that they're here for a purpose. The purpose is the glory of God. That sacrifice is a part of that. That self-indulgence and self-gratification and immediate gratification is not a reality. It will bankrupt you. It will cause you to lose your relationships with other people. But all that is necessary for each of the different personalities of children in the home. And the wise man, the wise woman deals with knowledge, with discretion, the knowledge of economy. How to stay, and Steve dealt with this quite a bit, how to stay solvent in a home. How to prepare meals that are nutritious, that are within a budget, for the sake of the family, for the health of the family, for the strength of the bodies of the family. The work ethic, a knowledge of work ethic, staying organized. Hygiene, how to stay clean. Knowledge of duty, how to motivate us. And what he talked about, one interesting thing he said is, you know, if businesses were run like some homes, they would be bankrupt shortly, or they would not be able to function. And that a home has to be in some ways similar to a business in all the knowledge that is necessary that you have to deal with in order for a home to function aright for the glory of God and the furtherance of the kingdom in an orderly fashion. A prudent man deals with knowledge. A prudent woman deals with knowledge. And the same goes in building the church as well, and the function of the elders within the church. And they have to deal with knowledge. They have to deal in knowledge. They have to understand the different aspects of souls, the weaker brother, and all the aspects of that weaker brother, and how not to destroy him with one's knowledge, and how to use knowledge in a discretionary way. and not trample people with that knowledge. Every prudent man deals with knowledge, perception, skill, discernment. In Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 27, there it talks about sins of ignorance. And it says, and if anyone of the common people sin through ignorance, Leviticus 4:27, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which he ought not to be done and be guilty, or if his sin which he has sinned comes to his knowledge, when it comes to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering a kid of goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned. And there's an important principle here. There are things that we do ignorantly because we're ignorant about many things. But when we are brought to knowledge, and God brings us to knowledge, it says a prudent man deals with knowledge. He deals with the knowledge. He deals out the knowledge and he deals with it. In that when that knowledge comes to us, we have to do something with it. And in the Old Testament, what he was saying is that you may sin, and you may sin ignorantly and not even know about it, but once it comes to your knowledge, you need to do something about it. You need to bring the sacrifice that was appropriate for that. And in our time, it would be the sacrifice of repentance unto God and giving obedience to God in that area. There is, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the song of Hannah. And in that song, she says, talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. When we say a prudent man deals with knowledge, it is a knowledge of God's knowledge. That is, it is a knowledge that the Lord is a God of knowledge. Reality is that God knows all about us, which is why in her song she says, talk no more exceeding proudly, or let arrogance come out of your mouth. Why should you? How can you be arrogant and proud when God is weighing all your actions? How foolish it is for us to present ourselves to be something that we're not, because it's God who knows what we are. So in the song, so a prudent man deals with knowledge, and what he deals with is the reality of the God he walks before. We walk before Him in truth. And it is a strange business that we have to be reminded constantly that we walk before God constantly in our lives. And I think part of it is just us wanting to not deal with that reality of the fact that we are walking constantly in the very presence of God. Why a prudent man deals with knowledge. When Solomon, during his peaceful reign, it says Hiram sent in the navy, his servants, talking about Solomon's navy, because the children of Israel didn't have seamen. They were landlubbers and didn't have guys that knew anything about the sea. It says, Hiram sent in the navy his servants. This is 1 Kings 9:27. Hiram sent in the navy his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon, to teach the servants of Solomon, keep them from losing the navy. A prudent man deals with knowledge. He's studied in his field. And these men were studied in their field, and Solomon had enough wisdom to know to have to go and get the expertise that was there. So a prudent man deals with knowledge, which means a wise man knows what he doesn't know too. Solomon was the wisest man on earth. And so when he established a navy, which was something to even do for Israel, he went ahead and found somebody who knew something about that. And not to have this pride in which we can't go to somebody for expertise. When it's needed, a wise man, prudent man, deals with knowledge. But the fool lays out his folly. The fool says, I don't need help from anybody. And so the fool says, I got my own navy and I can run my own navy. And then his navy goes under. He lays out his folly. And that has been that the folly of some men who have been in charge at times has been very evident at times. There's been generals, there have been captains, but men who didn't know their limitations or weren't willing to admit their limitations, and they lost men on account of it. Lost battles, sometimes lost countries over it. When Solomon, of course, was being brought to the kingship, we know that famous passage where Solomon says, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this, thy people, that is so great?" And God was very pleased with that. Every prudent man deals with knowledge. If you're a wise man, it's because you deal with knowledge and you know that you need knowledge. Solomon knew that he needed knowledge. He knew that he needed a tremendous amount of knowledge in order to rule over others. And therefore he asked that of God, and God was pleased with it, and God gave it to him. "Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee," God said. So I think from that we can also take from that, again, the necessity of humility to gain knowledge and to plead with the Lord, help me with this job, Lord. I don't have all the knowledge I need. And help me with this family. I don't have all the knowledge I need. Only the Lord can build a house. Help me with our country. And that's where we lack. This is the great lacking of our country, is that we are completely, almost completely, absent of humility in this country. We've been that way for a long time. We are arrogant. We think because we have technology, and we think because we are right now are on the cutting edge of some technology, that we can't be touched. And God laughs in the heavens at that. God has touched many countries that were far superior to other countries and brought them low. And what we need is a grand dose of humility in this country, that we need the Lord. The ministry is to deal with it. Every prudent man deals with knowledge. In Jeremiah 3:15, God says, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which will feed you with knowledge and understanding." They will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And the ministry needs to be cognizant of that. A prudent man will deal with knowledge. A minister of the gospel, elders within the assembly, they're not made elders because they are prominent in society. They're not made elders because they are wealthy. Not made elders because they are good mixers and get along well with other people and can do executive jobs. An elder is someone who is supposed to be knowledgeable of the scriptures and know the word of God and be able to deal that to the people. Every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. And it is the greatest of folly to put in position men who are ignorant of the Holy Scriptures and not well-versed in them in the church. He cannot pretend to ignorance. Job says, "Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind," the knowledge of wind. Should a wise man utter vain knowledge? He should never pretend to ignorance. And men do this at times in order to save their skin or whatever it might be. They pretend to ignorance. He says it ought not to be. Should a wise man utter vain knowledge? We know the children of Israel, and in the time of Daniel, there were some that were spared when they were hauled off to Babylon because they were skillful in wisdom and cunning in knowledge. And because these men were such, they were spared and brought into the brought into places of rule in Babylon, Daniel being one as well. Spiritual knowledge. A prudent man deals with knowledge, and there needs to be spiritual knowledge. Hosea says, "I desired mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." I want the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. I want a true understanding of who I am more than all of your service to me. Sometimes we think we can make up for a deficiency or a complete ignorance of who God is by just working very hard at helping people doing this or that or something else and deciding the way we will go. He says the knowledge of God is more important than burnt offerings. A prudent man deals in knowledge, and the greatest of knowledge is that knowledge of the Holy One. And it is the inheritance of the saints. Paul said, "I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish each other." that you have this ability because you're the saints, because God has given you understanding and knowledge. A prudent man deals with knowledge. We trade in this as believers. Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and to virtue. Once again, it's the knowledge of God that calls us, that we are called to glory and virtue. This divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, because He has given us the knowledge of God Himself. Peter says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The prudent man deals with knowledge. It will be spiritual knowledge. It's the inheritance of the saints. And it will provide everything that he needs for this life and the life to come. The use of that knowledge with the weaker brother, we touched on and spoke of again in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. He says, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. And knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. Prudent man deals with knowledge, and it's an understanding of how to use the knowledge that he has. We all have knowledge, Paul says. Howbeit, he says, there is not in every man that knowledge, the same knowledge. For some with a conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered to an idol. Talking about meats offered to idols. And the whole issue was whether or not should a Christian eat meat that had been already offered up before it was actually put on the market on the agora. Before it was put on the market, it had already been offered to some sort of idol, and then they had put it on the market. So should a Christian buy that? And should a Christian eat that? And Paul argues that an idol is absolutely nothing. It's vanity. It's the wind. It makes no difference whether it's been offered to an idol or not. It's meat. Eat it. But, he says, not everybody has that knowledge. Some people think that there's a problem. And if it's without faith, it is sin. If a man thinks this is sin, if he believes it's sin, it is sin for him. Because if he believes this is sinning against God and then he does it, he has sinned against God. Because he is disobeying his conscience. And so Paul says the knowledge, we all have knowledge, but we all don't have the same knowledge. And so don't use your knowledge in a way which will destroy other believers, but have true knowledge and actual enough wisdom to know when you restrain yourself from doing something like eating meat of an idol or inviting somebody over to your house and doing that which will cause them to fall into sin. So it's the use of knowledge. The prudent man deals out knowledge and he deals with it in a wise way. James says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show it out of a good conversation and works with meekness of wisdom. So again, I think one of the things that we see all the way through is this idea of meekness, humility, in the use of this knowledge, a recognition of where this knowledge came from. A wise man deals with knowledge. So a wise man doesn't have to be, you know, seen, heard, on top all the time. He doesn't have to display his knowledge. A person who really has knowledge doesn't have to display knowledge. A person who has little knowledge has to display knowledge when they're trying to impress somebody. The preservation of the state. The scripture says in Proverbs 28 and verse 2, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state shall be prolonged. The state shall be preserved. How? By men of understanding and knowledge. Men of understanding and knowledge. So we are plagued with fools at this point in the land. Men who have degrees, men who have college educations, but they do not have the fear of God, and the fear of God is the foundation of all true knowledge. Therefore, we have men who have high IQs and men who also have, who are very, very smart in the way of deceiving people, very, very smart in the way of sin, very, very smart in knowing how to word things, and rhetoricians who can actually bring to pass gay marriage in a country where the gays are such a tiny minority of the people in reality, and yet they have for a long time used words, phrases, way of saying things to convince foolish souls who are absolutely ignorant of the violence that goes on, that of necessity goes on within homosexual relationships. No other way it can be except violent, because they are not made for each other in the sexual relation. So for the preservation of the state, there has to be men of understanding and knowledge, and there have to be men who are grounded in the fear of God. Isaiah said, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times." Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. And the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord, is his treasure. Of Christ it was said, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." So Christ is the great paradigm always, and the Spirit of God resting upon him was a spirit of knowledge, wisdom, understanding, prudence. And Christ of all men dealt with knowledge. So we look to him. We look to him to try to understand, how do you deal with a hypocrite? We see how Jesus Christ dealt with a hypocrite. How do you deal with publicans and sinners, harlots and taxmen? We look at Jesus Christ and see how he dealt with them, because he was one of wisdom and understanding. But the fool lays open his folly. Job says, "Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways." A fool desires not the knowledge of the ways of God, and therefore he opens up his folly. All he has left is his finite mind, his few years that he has upon the earth, and the darkness of his understanding to display to us. And that display is utter folly. When God dealt with Job, he said at the end of the book of Job, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" And Job was a believer. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now, Job had counsel and he had words, and he was a believer. And yet God said, "You have darkened counsel." Instead of bringing it to light, "You have darkened my counsel," because he did not have a right understanding of God himself as he needed. And then Job 42, "Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge?" And that's what happens when we don't have knowledge, or we don't deal in knowledge. We hide counsel. We may be giving counsel and at the same time hiding it, because we're giving false counsel to folk. And Job says, "Therefore, I have uttered what I didn't understand. They were things too wonderful for me." And this is what the Christian comes to understand over and over again. And he confesses that. Job confesses it. He's a good pattern for us. He confesses when he's ignorant as a Christian. And we confess this. And we say, "God, didn't know what I was talking about. Didn't have light. I confess it. And now I have light. Now I'll speak the truth. Now I'll speak what's right. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorner, and fools hate knowledge. For that they hated knowledge, they did not fear they did not choose the fear of the Lord. Go from the presence of a foolish man, and when you perceive not in him the lips of knowledge, run from such a man. Isaiah says, none considers in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I burn part of it in the fire, and part of it I make a god and I bow down to it, because they have not knowledge. God is the God who frustrates the tokens of the liars and makes the diviners mad and turns the wise men backwards and makes their knowledge foolish." Makes their knowledge foolish. And so we have seen it. We have seen it come around heavily in this country, where the men who have been placed in the highest places in the educational institutions of the land, to where it's almost a proverb now. It is almost proverbial that to get certain grants from the government, you have to do the stupidest things and ask for the stupidest things in order to get hundreds of thousands of dollars to study things which every child knows the answer to. Isaiah says, "For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, thou hast said, none sees me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it has perverted thee. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there's none beside me." And this is what we do, isn't it? When we reject God, we say, I am. I am. The ineffable name of God. I am. And there's nobody beside me. I know. And that's what each man has to be, isn't it? Each humanist has to be God himself. Because his hope is in human knowledge. And human knowledge is as different in each human as there are humans. And therefore the only absolute he has is himself. And therefore every single humanist is a God unto himself. He is I am. And there is no one like me, no one beside me. And so Hosea said, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Those go together. No truth coincides with no mercy, because the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. So as you see God leave the land, you see mercy leave the land as well. "My people," he says, "are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. And you will be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. And I will forget your children." Oh, what a crushing sentence that is, and how crushing that is when God does that. When God forgets the children of a generation, and that country is lost. So, the prudent man is what we wish to be. The prudent man deals with knowledge, while the fool, he lays open for all to see his folly. Father, we thank you for your word. We confess our sins are folly. The sins of our thoughts, our sinful thoughts are folly before you. Our sinful actions are folly. Sinful words are folly before you. We pray that you would make us wise, a wise people. That we would deal in knowledge, wisdom, prudence, understanding, discretion. Pray that you would bless your people. Continue to bless them with knowledge. Continue to bless them with a humble heart, and a humble heart before you to learn, a learner's heart, a disciple's heart, those who sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Take away our love of sinning, O God, our love of being fools. We pray that you would make us a holy people, a people that are useful in thy kingdom, useful to our friends and neighbors, useful to all that we come into contact with, because we have the fear of the Lord, which is the only true knowledge, the only true basis for knowledge. We do plead for our land. We recognize her folly and what straits we are in at this point. We pray that in the midst of the great darkness that we would not lose hope, but would see that the light of light shines all the brighter for the darkness that is about us, that we would remember that. Remember that we have a testimony, that we are to be light to this world, and the darker it gets, the brighter it's going to shine, and the more it's going to be known and seen, and perhaps made light of, and yet it will be seen. And so we pray that you would make us faithful to thee, O Lord. Give us courage, give us strength. Take away our own sins, that we might be a light to the world. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.